Welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. It's a comedy podcast where three best buds sit around and talk about the supernatural, conspiracy theories, true crime, and more. Pretty much anything weird. Now, we tend to pull no punches, so a mature listening audience is advised. But if you like to have a good time, then crack open a cold one, pull up a chair, and hang out with the boys of the Beer Canspiracy Show.
How can a Boeing 777, one of the biggest and most modern aircraft in the world, just vanish without a trace? It can't.
239 innocent people. Someone knows. Someone definitely knows.
Planes go up. Planes go down. What planes don't do is just vanish off the face of the earth.
On the phone with us now is the Malaysian Airlines Vice President of Operations. Mr. Shiruji, I appreciate you being with us. What's the latest you can tell us about this aircraft?
Okay, the aircraft has got about 7 hours of fuel, and we suspect that by 8:30, this aircraft would have run out of fuel. At the moment, we have got no idea where this aircraft is right now.
I remember when it was missing for a week, and we were all incredulous. We said to one another, I can't believe it's been a whole week and we still haven't found this plane. And then after a month, we still haven't found this plane. And then a year later, we're still looking for this plane?
It is therefore with deep sadness and regret that I must inform you that according to this new data, flight MH370 ended in the southern Indian Ocean.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Canspiracy Show. Thank you guys for joining us. We're about to give you the best episode you've ever heard. All of our blood, sugar, sex, and magic. We're your hosts. I'm Aaron.
Dirty D.
I'm Sean.
As always, guys, we're going to kick it over to Dirty D for Dirty D's Dirty News.
My throat! Okay.
Welcome to the segment of Dirty D's Dirty News. On this one, we've got a little bit of a funny one, a little bit of a sad one.
Dang. At least we get some funny.
Well, that sounds like all
it's
of
not
our
too
episodes.
Sad. Don't get too sad about it.
Okay.
Frederickstown veterinarian charged with sex with a pony. Ha 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 ha. And 2 counts of domestic violence.
Oh. Boo.
So Frederick. Ooh. It's a long, weird name. I thought it was Frederick. It is.
Do you need some help? You got it?
We'll go Frederick. A Frederickstown veterinarian is charged with having sex with an animal and 2 counts of domestic violence against people. After domestic violence against the horse, but nope, he was banging the horse.
He banged the horse and beat up his wife.
Yeah, for finding him banging the horse and his daughter.
Oh.
No, I was thinking the horse's wife he beat up.
Dr. Philip R. Diltz, 66, entered not guilty pleas this week in Mount Vernon Municipal Court to the misdemeanor charges, which include allegations he had sexual conduct with a Shetland pony,
and
later Is that a sexy one?
No, that's the little bitty ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
The little mini horses. Ooh. What a dick.
Yeah, that's what he used, I think. And later injured his wife, Brenda, 60, and his daughter, Hannah, 24. During a phone interview late Thursday afternoon, Dilt said the allegations regarding the horse made by his wife and daughter are not true and are the result of divorce. Like, I guess she's... Like, that guy fucks a
horse. Yeah, they were divorced, and he's like, yeah, he used to fuck horses, the little baby ones.
Gross. It never happened. I will be exonerated. It will just take some time. How do you disprove or prove that?
Is the horse pregnant?
No.
Is the horse sad?
No.
Does the guy own at least one pair of cowboy boots with spurs?
Definitely.
Then he might. I wouldn't discount it.
Yeah. There's a maybe. I'm putting in a maybe.
I'm putting it in.
Not good enough. He's exonerated.
Good.
After spending Sunday night in county jail, Diltz was released on 35. We don't care. His veterinarian license status is listed as inactive on account of the bang and the horse. The two women obtained temporary protection orders against Diltz from the court. The domestic violence charges are first-degree misdemeanors, which carry maximum blah, 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 blah. Law enforcement officials went to the family farm in Frederickstown on Easter evening at 8:09 p.m. He banged it on Easter, too. Responding to a 911 call made by Hannah Diltz.
Think about that call.
My dad fucked a horse and then he beat me.
Please help us.
He said it was a pinata, but it wasn't a pinata.
He's got a crazy look in his eye.
And his dick's out. She advised dispatchers her father had been caught having sex with a horse, had access to guns, and was threatening to shoot himself and others.
That's fine.
You caught me banging this horse, I'm going to kill you and myself.
Well, shoot yourself first.
I'm going to ride this horse out of here.
Hanging off the back.
You'll never catch me.
After taking Philip Diltz into custody without incident at the scene and placing him into a cruiser, deputies interviewed the two women. Deputies said Brendan Diltz had a red marks on her neck where her husband allegedly put his arms around her neck. Hannah Diltz had scrapes on her hands after reportedly trying to stop her father from assaulting her mother. She told deputies her father had been drinking vodka. You drink a lot of vodka, don't you?
Been there.
Weren't you talking about getting little Chantilly horses?
Chantilly horses? Nope.
And asking about what height their vagina was at?
No, I was asking, can you prove if I raped this horse?
Is it sad?
No, it's fine.
Is it pregnant?
No, I did good. I was happy.
Brenda Diltz told deputies she had gone to the barn on the property to use a hose to put water in a trowel. She saw what she believed was her husband having sex with a pony. Maybe it's a baby horse, too. I don't know.
So he's a pedophile slash bestiality.
At what point would
consider
an animal? Like,
what is consent?
Is a one-year-old horse an adult?
I don't know. It depends on the animal.
I'm going by dog ears.
Well, some animals can fend for themselves at different ages. I don't know when Shetland ponies...
I don't know. I don't know when it's okay to bang them.
I don't know when Shetland ponies can not get raped.
Well, apparently, whatever age this is not the age. She told deputies her husband tucked himself back in and questioned what she was doing there. Put his weenie back
in. He blamed it on her?
What the fuck are you doing
here? Why are you looking at me?
I wasn't banging horses or nothing.
This is my free time.
She said, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And ran to her daughter, who was in a nearby van. Philip Diltz then allegedly told his wife his life was over and he was going to shoot himself. The disagreement allegedly became physical when the two women tried to prevent him from going into the house and down to the basement where firearms were located. Just let him go.
Yeah.
Deputy Brandon Feeney said he interviewed Philip Diltz at the scene and advised him of the animal violations alleged by his wife.
Feeney! Hey! What?
You're gonna have to put that in, huh?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Philip replied, mm-hmm.
Is that
about to? I wasn't. It's like three different quotes.
Oh.
He turned into Yoda.
Philip advised that he hadn't done it yet. She caught him before insertion.
That's good.
And that he was humiliated by his family. Philip said it pretty humiliating. What could be worse? Philip denied making any threats towards his family. And he is also denying the animal allegations.
But you just said...
Well, he didn't...
Does the pony smoke cigarettes
now? He hadn't done it yet. He was just getting ready.
Yeah, but okay.
That's so if in you a get court caught of law, before you put it in the horse, technically he didn't do nothing.
Technically he didn't do nothing.
Yeah. We had a sick horse and I was waiting for it to eat its oats. He said,
I'll check in its temperature.
I was standing behind it and I took it by the tail and was turning it when my wife looked through an opening in the barn.
Disregard my penis. My erect penis.
I was just testing the air with my penis. He said his wife accused him of having sex with a pony and ran away. Bill said his wife told his daughter what she thought she had seen.
Why?
Why would she tell the daughter?
Yes.
Like, holy shit, holy shit.
Your dad was fucking a horse.
Is she young or?
The daughter was 24.
Oh, okay.
I'm imagining the wife 60s. Like trying to get into the van that the daughter's in at first. She's like fumbling the keys, like, oh shit, he's coming. Like a scary movie.
What do you mean by he's coming?
Oh, you know.
We are in the midst of a divorce that has gone south. My wife wants it all. She wants me out. She wants the house.
She wants the horse.
She won't even let me keep the horse. Dill said that he had been a veterinarian for 13 years after becoming the oldest graduate of the Ohio State of Veterinary Medicine. Dill said he was forced to take off all his clothes, put on a smock, and sleep on a ledge with a thin vinyl pad. Oh, that must have been in jail.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
They made him sleep in a smock on a thin vinyl padded mattress.
Because they don't want him raping anybody else.
The lights are on 24/7. It's inhumane. It would make a normal person suicidal. If I had fucked a horse, I would shoot myself in the head, he said.
Not that I did. That's what I'm just saying.
Just if I did do the horse.
If I had done it, I would.
It's just, you know, the rest is not relevant. He's got a few minor traffic tickets. And illegally hunted deer with a shotgun during muzzle loading season.
What a dick.
And the banged horse. Some horses. So,
is there a
moral of the story? If you get caught with your dick out behind a horse, technically you didn't do nothing.
Blame it on your wife.
And that concludes the segment of Dirty D's Dirty News.
Okay. All right, I'm going to be presenting the topic tonight. So, we're going to be talking about Malaysian Airlines MH370.
So the one that disappeared?
That is the one that disappeared.
Yeah, a lot of weird stuff about it.
I saw a podcast recently about this.
Yeah,
good. Or parts of it.
Yeah, I'm a little familiar.
I'll illuminate you guys on what's going on. So, with Boeing and MH370 back in the news lately because...
No buenos?
Boeing had the...
DEI.
What is that?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Enlighten us.
They've hired all the women and the minorities at like lower standards because they have to have more. And
I was talking about their doors blowing off.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh, okay.
Because they're hiring less qualified people just to have diverse.
And then they just killed that whistleblower guy.
Right.
I forgot his name.
Right. And he said supposedly.
Oh, he did end up dying?
Yeah. Nope.
Oh.
Dying in quotations.
Right.
Yeah. They killed him.
He was like, well,
that's still dying. Yeah. Didn't suicide in quotations. Yes. He did die, though. Yes. It was in like the middle of the trial, and he had apparently told his friends, if I die, I didn't commit suicide.
Yep.
I feel like we say this all the time. But yeah, I just thought it was a good time to cover this topic. It is considered one of the most expensive searches in the history of aviation and one of its greatest mysteries.
Do you think it could have been sucked into a black hole?
No, I never really got that.
Oh, you don't have that in there?
No.
Don Lemon asked that question and got a bunch of shit for it.
I heard that name in my research, but I didn't really know who he was.
Like a CNN news person asshole that got fired.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about it, but I remember when it was in the news, and I guess I didn't really care until like all the conspiracy theories started popping up about it. And the fact that it's still in the news after like 10 years... It kind of intrigued me again. I heard it on the news the other day, so thought we'd cover it. But before we start, let me cite the sources I used because they were actually really fucking great. And if the subject does interest you, you should go check those out because I'm going to simplify this as much as I can because it's really fucking technical. And just for time issues, I wanted to...
We're technical guys.
Plane goes in air, plane disappears. No one finds plane.
No, I'm talking like... radars and math and crazy shit. So my first source, Jeff, math. Jeff Wise. I read his book, The Plane That Wasn't There. That was a really good book. Then I listened to his podcast, Deep Dive, MH370. And then I found this channel on YouTube called Mentor Pilot. I'm not really sure the guy's name, but he's like an aviation expert. He does all kinds of content about planes and aviation stuff. Really cool. If you like that stuff, go check it out. So let's start with the plane itself. So the plane is a Boeing 777. It's a huge fucking plane, super smart and sophisticated. This particular plane had been in use since May 14, 2002 and clocked 53,471 hours, about 6 hours of fly time, 7,526 trips around Malaysian airspace. Most planes, most Boeing 777s fly for 27 years. This only had been flown for 12. On August 9, 2012, this particular plane did have an accident. So they had just landed at Shanghai Pudong International Airport in China.
China.
Why do you keep calling it the China virus?
China.
Because it is from China.
While it was being taxied towards the terminal, it collided with another plane, a Chinese plane. There was no injuries, but the right wing tip did break off and embedded into a Chinese aircraft. It had about 6 feet of wing missing. It was considered minor damage. They repaired their wing. It went back to work 2 months later. All right. So MH370 was scheduled to leave Kuala Lumpur International Airport in Malaysia. It was a red eye flight, meaning it does leave at night and it arrives the next day. The flight was leaving on March 8, 2014 at 12:35 a.m. and was set to arrive the next morning at 6:30 a.m. They ended up leaving at 12:42, only 7 minutes late, and begin to fly to their destination. So, I mean, 7 minutes, it's not that bad. So it was a calm night, and this was just a regular flight, meaning they do this particular route daily, all the time. It's not anything special. So easy peasy for veteran pilot Captain Zahari Ahmad Shah and his first officer Farouk Abdul Hamid, who we will be referring
sounds
to.
Sounds like a basketball player.
We will be referring
as
to
the terrorist.
As Freak-a-Leak from now on. Freak-a-Leak. This was actually his last training flight before he would be made a captain of a Boeing 777 himself. So after takeoff at 12:42, Malaysian Air Traffic Control, which we're going to call that just ATC from now, tells MH370 to climb to about 18,000 feet and proceed to waypoint Agari.
And so he said, nah, man.
So they've got wait, they've got checkpoints. This whole thing is mapped out and they send the data to the plane and they put the autopilot on. They click everything on the plane. Autopilot goes. They click in all the checkpoints as they go.
Cool.
So they're going to Agari. Right. So they have the data in the plane. Like I said, you click Agari. The autopilot takes you there. If you have any problems, you take it off autopilot and you fly it. So at 12:46, they're transferred from the ATC airport tower to National Lumpur ATC. And they say hello. They climb to 35,000 feet, which is the standard that the aircraft fly at. They level out and they cruise while retaining communication with the Lumpur ATC with no problems. At 107, the captain says they have maintained 35,000 feet, which is kind of odd because pilots don't really do that. There's no point
checking in.
Yeah, there's no point to check in.
Because they know.
They know where you're at.
Yeah.
So, and then he also didn't reply the frequency that they're at back to the tower. At 119, while over the South China Sea, the Malaysian air traffic controller instructed MH370 to contact Vietnam ATC. It's actually the Ho Chi Minh ATC. So they're leaving Malaysian airspace and they're entering Vietnam. So you switch ATCs depending on which airspace you're in. I wasn't aware of that. Never really thought about it. So they're passing Agari checkpoint, which is still in Malaysian airspace, and moving on to the next. But they're in kind of like a window where they're not being watched by anybody.
Malaysian 370, contact Ho Chi Minh 120.99. Good night.
Good night, Malaysia 370. So he just says...
good night.
Why are they talking in English on the pilots in Malaysia to China?
Because... America and English is the greatest country and language in all the world. Got so everybody it. Uses it.
Kind of weird. They're all Chinese, kind of.
Malaysian.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks the him saying goodnight is ominous because it's just the last thing they've ever heard, last transmission anybody's ever heard. Does he say it heard.
All the time?
I think.
You probably don't really actually, know English and like.
I haven't really actually heard any aviation experts say this, but I think this is what they say when they're handing off to another ATC, like goodnight, like
good we're night.
Leaving you,
right?
Goodnight. So, but everybody's like, oh, this is the last thing we ever heard. He says goodnight. So everybody think it's just a scary thing to say. But anyway, so they veer right a little bit and they head to the next waypoint called BTOG, which is in Vietnam airspace. The thing is, they never switch over. At 121, they vanish from radar. Their transponder is no longer functioning and like, boom, they just disappear from all radar. So let's take a little break to talk about radar for a sec. We have primary radar and secondary radar. So ATCs use both, but mainly they use secondary. Now, secondary depends on a small radio transmitter on the plane called a transponder. The plane actually has two transponders on board. One is activated by the pilot in the cockpit. It sends info to the ground, such as speed and altitude and like who they are, to the ground. And the other one, I believe, is for other traffic, other planes in the skies. So, and that reduces mid-air collisions and stuff. So it is mandatory for those transponders to be on. Under no circumstances should a pilot turn it off without permission. Now, primary radar, everybody knows what primary radar is. It works by sending out a radio pulse from the ground, and then it measures the waves that may hit a target, and then it bounces back and to the receiver, and it gives a bearing on a target. So it's just like beep, and it just... So
is this why there's more cancer cases, because of all these radio waves and yes. stuff?
Possibly. I mean...
Can be good for you.
Primary radar is just like stuff you see in the movies, everywhere, you know, like...
The beep on the little beep,
yeah,
thing spinning in a circle. Yes,
are you thinking just, about Independence Day? Oh, no, wrong thing.
Yeah.
So every movie with airplanes.
Yep.
So it sends a pulse out, and then it's just, you got the beep, beep, and it, you don't know what it is. You don't you just know
something's
who
there.
Something is there. This kind of radar is used by the military to see targets that are not relaying any information to the ground. This one has pretty limited range, and we won't find out till later, after they're gone and after this whole incident happens, that the Malaysian military actually has MH370 on radar. Like, just talk about it. They don't know it's 370. They just see something in the air. With the power of hindsight, we know that the military saw the plane do a sharp 180 degree turn left and start traveling back southwesterly back to Malaysia. So it's just a huge sharp left turn going back towards Malaysia. They're going over the Malay Peninsula near Penang Island, which they actually see the first officer's cell phone ping close to the island, so they know that they're coming back instead of keep going straight to Beijing. They're going toward the Andaman Sea. The military actually loses the aircraft at 2:22 a.m., which later they told the public that they lost radar contact at 1:30, before actually telling the truth on March 12th and saying, well, it was actually 2:22 a.m.
What's the point of that?
They're dicks. We'll get into that a little bit later. So the military did nothing. They didn't scramble any jets. They didn't tell anybody they're seeing anything weird. And that's probably why they didn't let that information go out till days after this incident happened. So this turn cannot be done on autopilot. So remember, they're going autopilot this whole... It's just pretty much a straight shot.
So they see them on radar. Why would they scramble jets and stuff? They just see it like, oh, that's just air traffic.
Because of the turn?
Because of the turn?
Not really, because... I mean, again, that's a thing. You're not necessarily... Because that, you know, that shit costs a lot of money. To scramble jets to put in the air. So yeah. That could be another reason why. But they don't know what's going on. So... Me, I don't really fault them that much for not telling everybody, like, oh shit, there's a plane.
Yeah, it's there. Just a plane.
Yeah, it's just something. Well, it's not even a plane, just something there.
Planes fly here.
Yeah. So, like I was saying, that sharp left turn cannot be done by autopilot. So, somebody had to be in control of that plane. And then the military tracked MH370 for another hour. Another thing is, this is the perfect spot to make a UE, because the Malaysian ATC thinks they handed off the plane. Ho Chi Minh is not really paying that much attention because the plane's going to call them when they're ready to get in their airspace. And then, I mean, it's a red-eye plane. Everybody's asleep. There's not that much traffic going on. They're not paying that much attention. And then, okay, so think of it as little baby Anakin flying in the gorge on Tatooine in his pod racer. So they're coming back towards Malaysia. On their right is the Thailand Air Force Defense Identification Zone, which their military is monitoring that whole zone. So Thailand is just seeing a plane diverting, nothing nefarious. Nobody's saying like, oh, go get that plane, or nothing happens. So they're not going to be bothered by the Thai military. Okay, so there is another way of communication called ACARS, Aircraft Communication Addressing and Recording System. This is a digital link system which connects the data providers on the ground to the aircraft. It enables the people on the ground to send updated weather information, updated flight plans. You can make calls, send messages to the aircraft. They're using VHF, which is just very high frequency, or satellite communications. So you can also see how fast they're going and at which altitude the plane's traveling at. These ACAR boxes are in two different locations, in the cockpit and in the cabin. It kind of monitors what's going on. It can give you, like, we'll call it like the environment of the cabin. Like if anything's bad, they're going to know. But that also goes out too. So we're starting to see that the plane is electronically malfunctioning. And that kind of points to a catastrophic event such as an explosion of the aircraft. So as far as ATC knows, this plane is dead right there. Mm-hmm. So at 1:30, Ho Chi Minh ATC attempts to make contact. They're expecting a handoff, but they never hear anything from an MH370. Like I said, the plane usually makes contacts first. It's not a huge deal to wait like 5 minutes before contacting them. They take 18 minutes to do anything. This is a huge fuck up. This is a huge fuck up of this whole thing because it's so late in the night. Like I said, there's not a lot of traffic, so this is just regular planes. It's not a big deal. So that maybe they're not at full attention, but they ask another aircraft, MH88, which took off 30 minutes before 370, and they ask them to make contact. They do, and all they hear static and mumbling. Finally, at 1:39, Ho Chi Minh ATC is getting worried. They call Kuala Lumpur, and they're like, did we miss something? Did I not take off? What's going on? Lumpur ATC is like, no, we've handed them off to you. We haven't heard anything about them. They're over Cambodia. And they're like, oh, Ho Chi Minh's like, oh, shit, you can see them? And Malaysia's like, no, we're just telling you what's in their flight plan. They should be over Cambodia by now. All the families arrive at Beijing Airport to greet their loved ones at 6:30. And keep in mind, they have no idea what's going on. The airport just keeps updating the board like MH370 is delayed.
Yeah, delayed. What the fuck are they going to say?
Right. Because they're just as confused as everybody else. They don't know where the plane's at. The families are asking airport staff, like, where the fuck is the plane? And all they can say is just like, it's going to be here. Just wait. It's not till 8 a.m. that the Malaysian government makes a statement. I mean, the media is going crazy at this point. We're just going to play Anderson
Cooper. Several media, including CNN.
On the phone with us now is the Malaysian Airlines Vice President of Operations. Mr. Shiruji, I appreciate you being with us. What's the latest you can tell us about this aircraft?
Okay, the aircraft has got about 7 hours of fuel, and we suspect that by 8:30, this aircraft would have run out of fuel. At the moment, we have got no idea where this aircraft is right now.
So they just come on and say they have no idea what the fuck's going on. They tell the public that communication with the plane had been like the night before. They don't know what's going on. A couple hours after that, the government announced that MH370 was missing. Malaysian Defense and Transport Minister Hishamudu Hussein makes an announcement that it's gone. We don't know what's going on. We're looking for it. So they begin to search that morning.
It's like, dude, where's my
another
car?
One?
Except kind for planes.
Except for
and then
Chinese's.
And then?
Yeah, the plane's missing.
And then?
We don't know where it's at.
And then?
We might know. We saw it, but then it was gone.
And then?
So the obvious place to start looking is where the
No more of them.
Where the plane lost communication because you assume it exploded there. And they did get info from personnel on an oil rig in the South China Sea that they did see a plane on fire. I don't know what happened to that. They just...
It was crazy.
It was pretty cool, but nothing...
Then we all stopped looking that direction.
Yeah, I went back to work because I had to make money. So they do find some oil slicks like 6 miles long. That just happened to be from a leaky boat. It was leaking oil and stuff. So, all right. So on March 11th, so 4 days later, a company called Inmarsat reviews their data and says that the government's looking in the wrong area. So let's talk about Inmarsat for a sec. It's a satellite communications company out of Britain that monitors aircraft and boat positions. They also aid in sending like Wi-Fi and messages to planes so you can watch movies and shit like that.
Well, I heard they're taking movies out of planes.
That sucks. Not related. I'm just oversimplifying what they do.
I like to watch the neighbor's TV. Like, he has headphones and stuff, and I'm just like, oh, I kind of get what's happening.
I don't need words.
Yeah.
Think of it as kind of like self-service for planes. But they see the aircraft and talk to a box on the plane called the Satellite Data Unit, or the SDU, which in MH370 it's still on. So they saw the plane travel for another 6 hours. So they didn't crash or blow up where the Malaysian government thinks they did.
Which kind of radar did they use to do that?
This is not those two primary.
Oh, it's the Wi-Fi thingy.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So they send pings, or what they call handshakes, to that SDU every hour. Or like when the system reboots or something like that, they call it a handshake. So they handshake every hour, and it's just like, like what Netflix does. Are you still there? Are you still watching? Are you okay? But right. You don't have to talk back to them. They're just asking, you're there, you're there, you're there. And they never get anything back, but they're pinging it. They see you there. So they use something called BTO or BFO to pinpoint locations. BTO is burst timing offset. So they send the ping and they can tell how far away the craft is from their satellite. They've got like 15 satellites across the world, and they're pinging. Every satellite's got their range. So this one in the Indian Ocean is pinging the plane everywhere. So they can tell how far the plane is from their satellite.
But at this point, like, it would have ran out of fuel. Like, they don't think it's still flying.
Still flying. Okay. They're pinging it. So they have 7 hours of flight.
Right. But so this is within that time, not...
So...
You said it was 4 days later.
Right. So at 4 days later, the plane's
still done, moving.
But they don't know. Nobody knows about what Inmarsat does. Like, they're just saying, like, we pay for this service and we're sending messages, Wi-Fi, videos or whatever. Malaysia pays for like the cheapest service. And then Inmarsat started doing this service where they started to record the pings after another French plane went down not too long ago, where they were like, we probably could have helped them or people find this plane if we would record where they were at or where pinging this plane. So they start recording it, but nobody knows because they just started doing this like a year before. So
before the Malaysia thing.
Before Malaysia, right. So then they come out a couple days later after they've reviewed their data, and they're like, oh shit, we've heard about this Malaysian plane going down. Maybe this data is what we have for the Malaysia plane. And it's true. So we talked about BTO. And then they also have BFO, which is burst frequency offset. And it's used to see the motion of the craft relative to the satellite. It's essentially like Doppler effect. Do you all know what that is?
The weather.
It's kind of like, so we're sending sound out to that. And it's kind of like, you know, when you hear like an ambulance siren and you hear it real loud at first when it's next to you, but then when it goes away, it gets real right. soft. So that's kind of what they're using to know about where they're using BTO. They know how far it is away. And then they're using BFO to know which way they're going. So they're pinging 7 arcs. And they use a special math, not going to get into it, to say that we have them in this corridor in the Indian Ocean. So we either have them, they could have either traveled north to Kazakhstan to go to land or they went south. And we're 4 days later, so Kazakhstan hasn't said, like, oh, yeah, we found
Here they are.
Right. So they're like, all right, they went south for sure. So, like I said, they see MH370 travel for another 6 hours. So they never blew up or anything. Just nobody else can see them but Inmarsat. And they ping them in the Indian Ocean. They come out on March, like, 14 or 15, something like that, to tell the Malaysian government, guys, y'all are looking in the wrong place because they're in the South China Sea. So then finally the Malaysian military comes out and is like, yeah, we actually saw them travel to the Indian Ocean. Also, we just didn't want to say anything. Supposedly, the military was
now using... Now, that is messed up, not saying anything after the news.
And that'll come up later.
That's like what happened with the submarine, too. The military knew what happened, like, days before. And then they came out after. They, like, found out, oh, yeah, it imploded. Like, well, yeah, we heard that on our military sound shit. The exact time that it happened, and we just didn't say nothing.
Well, supposedly, the military was using some kind of sophisticated radar that they didn't want anybody to know that they had, because they didn't want other countries to know that they had this, and then they might see them as a threat. And also the fact that they did absolutely nothing the day of the incident, so they didn't want to look bad, I guess, until they actually had to put that information out. Like, we're spending a shitload of money to look in the wrong place. It's a fuckload of money. And it takes a long time to scramble boats and planes and satellites to go actually look at a place. So they finally move the search to the South Indian Ocean. They never find anything. They ended up just suspending the search the next year. So let's just talk about the passengers of the plane. We got 227 passengers on board from 14 different nations. 153 of those passengers are from China. So they did find two passengers had been flying with stolen passports from Austria and Italy. And they were actually Iranians. So then everybody's like, oh, fucking, they're Iranian terrorists.
I was like, Iranians did it.
Exactly. Well, that's what everybody's thinking. It's not.
Oh, like they took over and crashed the plane.
Right. Terrorists took over the plane. They were just...
Goddamn.
They ended up being just Iranian refugees. They used passports.
That's what they all say.
On their way to Germany. Whatever. I don't know. Nobody knows.
I think I know, though.
And then...
I mean, they would have taken credit for something.
Right. Okay. But. Good thinking. That'll come up later. So, and then they had 20 staff of the U.S. technology company Freescale Semiconductor. That'll come up later, too. So, let's talk about the pilots. Yeah,
that's what the thing I had heard that was involving those people.
Yeah. I don't really believe it that much. We'll talk about it later, though. So, let's talk about the pilots. Captain Zahir Ahmad Shah, everybody pretty much blames him for this.
Like he committed suicide with...
Suicide murder. I'm on that also. So at 56 years old, he's a very seasoned pilot. He's got 18,423 hours experience with 8,000, let's just say 9,000 being on a Boeing 777. He's married, he's got 3 kids, but he's on the outs with his wife. They ended up
Caught fucking ponies.
No, I don't really know what the problem was, but the wife and the 3 kids move out the day before he goes on this flight. He's known as a good guy. His family says, oh, he's a great guy. He does nice things for the community. He feeds the homeless and all this shit. But they say his personality seemed to change pretty close to the flight. Because, I mean, he's losing his wife and kids. Most people would be distraught.
Right.
He spent many hours in his home airplane simulator. So he did have a airplane simulator in his home that he built. This guy was very...
Is he drinking, going like...
Dude, I would. It's like, what was that game we used to play?
Yeah, the flight simulator.
Flight simulator, but this shit is like a whole screen. You got all the buttons that and sounds shit. Sounds dope. Sounds fucking awesome.
My kids will never see me.
But it's kind of weird because like he does this shit all day, every day, and then he comes home and does it too.
Oh, yeah, that is
training.
Weird.
Training.
It'd still be fun, but not.
Okay. You
just like sit there and hit on autopilot and just sit in your simulator.
Okay. Training. It's fishy to me. After authorities found out that he's got a training simulator, some flight data that he's got on that was deleted hours before the flight. One flight plan that he was playing on did resemble the flight plan that MH370 eventually took. Like, flying to Beijing and then turning around, coming back to the Indian Ocean. Kind of fishy. First Officer Farikalik Abdulhamid. At 27 years old, he completed his flight training in 2008. He's fairly new to the Boeing 777. He had 3,000 hours flying experience with only 39 on the 777. He's been a captain on smaller planes, but he's working up to the bigger one because, I mean, you get to the bigger one and you're going to get paid more, right? He did have a black mark on his record for bringing some hot-ass bitches in the cockpit to watch him work.
Nice.
But, I mean...
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, right. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Look at this lady. He's just like the captain. I mean, everybody said he was a nice guy. He did work in the community. He was involved in a local foot sleigh. It's some sort of soccer game. I mean, he donates jerseys for little kids so they can have a foot sleigh community or whatever. That's He was also, I guess he left the bitches in the cockpit. He was going to marry a fellow pilot named Nadira Romley, a woman.
Oh, is that like a dude name?
Nadira Romley. So I hope it was a lady because I didn't really look it up. So I think most people put the blame on the pilot. So let's talk about what might have happened and then some conspiracy. So the number one thing is someone on board took control of MH370. They disabled the transponder. If it was the captain, they know this guy. Like, he likes to know everything that's going on his whole plane. So he would send first captains to be like, get out of the cockpit, go back there, just make sure everything's all right. So what if he did that? The first officer goes out, he locks him out, and then he just takes control, does whatever he's got.
Buddy.
It's really weird. I don't know what Malaysians are.
Well, the other guy sounded Indian.
Well, I thought they were Asian, but they have like Middle Eastern Malaysian names. I don't really know. I don't know a lot about
Malaysia. I've been imagining Temple of Doom people the whole time.
Well, I do that every day, all day, every day. I want to call him Marp.
That's
what I've been.
That's India,
like
Indian, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like tomato. Well,
India's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He locks the first officer out and then he takes control of the plane. He climbs. The plane actually climbs to where the cabin is depressurized. So all these people can't breathe. So the oxygen mask drop. And most people don't know. They've only got like 15 minutes of oxygen.
You know how those work? Didn't I tell you one time
I think
before?
You did.
It's like
we're talking about something different, but say what you were saying.
It's like there's some kind of
gas, right?
Material in there that they set on fire when everything drops, and whatever that does, it makes oxygen for however long until it's burnt up and then there's no more.
See, I don't know about that.
It's not like a tank of oxygen.
Well, this
is like a chemical reaction that.
See, now that you say that, this is something different because when they took off, they do have tanks of oxygen and they had just filled it up before they took off. So that's why they had more oxygen. The whole point, they don't.
It's not how it works.
I don't know. You don't know. You're not a pilot. I don't know.
He knows.
But
I watched a video on it.
The whole point.
He's played Fox 64 like 12 times.
Star Fox?
The whole point is you don't need a lot of oxygen. The whole point is for the pilot to drop to a safe flight level to where you don't need the oxygen. Like you're getting oxygen.
But then it was like also a thing because of that. Like it can only happen once.
Right.
The chemical reaction. And then like if something happens again, you're fucked because you can't do another one.
Okay. But he climbs. So they think maybe he climbed. The whole cabin gets hypoxia. So medical guy.
Passing out and stuff.
Yeah. Passing out from lack of oxygen. So they're all passed out. But the pilots have more oxygen than the cabin does. So he's still alive or whatever. So then he goes up, everybody gets hypoxia, and then he drops back down to where he's like the only person alive. And then later he just puts it on autopilot, he flies, and then it's just like it's out of fuel, so he points it at the ocean, just goes down, kills himself. Because the way the plane crashed so hard that it's not just falling. It's like somebody pointed it at the ocean. To where it hit so hard that, like, the way there's no debris and stuff.
Oh.
And then there was, I'm putting too much detail into it. I don't want to put too much detail. Okay. So as far as the Malaysian fuck up, well, Malaysia was a dictatorship then. I don't know if it is still now, but they don't really give a shit if people go missing. So they hindered the search. And also the airline is government owned. They don't want to be looked at as like fuck ups.
Right. Like Chernobyl.
Right.
Like, nothing's bad. Nothing's wrong.
Yeah, it's fine. Something happened. Don't know. Not a big deal.
We'll take care of it.
But so MH370 goes missing. And then like 6 months later, MH17 is shot down by Russians over Ukraine. So they try to cover up. They're trying to cover this up. And then they're like, fuck, now we got another plane down. It looks bad on the government. So during the initial search, some internet sleuths, this day and age, everything's going to have internet sleuths. I mean, we are basically internet sleuths. We cover true crime cases and stuff, but we've never actually had something going on in like...
We got stuff in life.
Day-to-day stuff. We usually cover past stuff. Mm. So internet sleuths try their best to help with the investigation. And these were actually like very qualified people trying to help. They're aviation experts. They got electrical and radar engineers. Okay, so they're given the raw Inmarsat data.
Raw.
And try as they could not duplicate Inmarsat's math to where the plane actually went down. So they think that possibly the data was tampered with. So again, that kind of points to subterfuge or whatever.
So do people think the Malaysian government knows what happened and they're just not saying anything?
That's what I heard.
I don't think anything happened.
Or they just don't care to, they don't even care.
A little whatever. Bit of both. Sounds like, I don't know.
Well, let's save that to the end. So they did find some debris on the coast of Africa, on the beach of Madagascar, and some other small islands around there like a year later. So they find three pieces, all having MH370 serial numbers. One was a right flapper on. That's like, you know, that thing on the plane mm-hmm. that flaps on.
Yep.
So they find that on Reunion Island. The next was a right wing flap. It's just another flap on another island. I didn't get the name of that one. And then the third part was right wing exterior. So exterior of a right wing found in Madagascar on a beach. So they're all parts from the same fucking wing. The weird thing is, it all possibly points to a Malaysian government cover-up. So, okay, I told you guys this at the very beginning, and you probably just skipped over it. You didn't think about it, and I didn't tell
that
you
was
to think
me.
About it.
I didn't think about it.
I know. So remember when they landed at that Chinese airport and they crashed into a Chinese plane and that fucked up their right wing? Okay. So I guess
they think that's from that.
They took that wing and I guess they take parts and they just put them in aircraft boneyards. The closest aircraft boneyard is in Australia. Very close. So they think those wing parts that they found are from MH370 and then they just replaced it with another wing. So the problem was when they found those wing parts, they had barnacles all over it, right? Because they've been in the ocean forever.
Right.
Barnacles are all over this wing, front. The sides, bottom, all over it. Barnacles only grow on wet surfaces. So the entire wing has to be underwater.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is,
it wouldn't wash up if it was underwater.
The wing float. So if it crashed and it's going to, it's floating, it takes a current, flies to Madagascar, it's not going to be underwater. It's going to take a current.
Nope. Underwater, it gets barnacles on the bottom. Dolphin flips it over. Barnacles on the other side.
Takes a year to grow barnacles. These barnacles also only grow in water 10 degrees cooler than the water that's in the South Indian Ocean, much like the water surrounding Australia. This guy gets it. So they think somebody...
Australia did it.
Well, they just think somebody stole the wing from the boneyard in Australia. They submerge it. They're like, let's put it on the water, get it to grow barnacles, and then we'll send it off their current. That's going to go to Madagascar, that's where it's going to go, pretty much. That's what they think is going to happen. But some people know how barnacles grow.
The repaired pieces would have the same serial number?
Right. The serial number's not going to change because the serial number matches that
V2.
Plane. Nope, doesn't matter. It matches that plane. It's not going to change. So the Malaysian government sent a guy named Zahid Raza to pick up the pieces.
Pick up the pieces! Pick up the pieces!
From Madagascar. He's like some kind of ambassador or whatever. So he was actually murdered on his trip. When he got to Madagascar, I think they shot up his car or some shit, but he was murdered while going to get those pieces. And then Malaysia was like, they did get the pieces back.
Never mind, keep them.
Well, they were just like, yeah, these pieces are definitely MH370.
So why did the guy get murdered?
Because they didn't want him to bring it back.
But then they got it back anyway.
They did, but they, because if he saw them, he's going to be like, oh, those are the pieces from the other plane. So, but France denies it. France only comes up. I didn't really look into this. I think Madagascar is like usually a colony of France. So France was there. I could be wrong. Whatever. So, okay, next. Maybe the plane was cyber hijacked. So Boeing Honeywell made something called the Uninterruptible Autopilot System after 9/11.
You never call something that uninterruptible. Somebody's going to interrupt
it. Well, see the thing. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. So the thing was
Titanic, the unsinkable sheep.
Unsinkable sheep. So the thing was, after 9/11, everyone is scared that somebody's going to hijack your plane. So it was like, if you put it on autopilot, you can't touch that. Or I don't know, unless you have a code or something, whatever, whatever. If it's on autopilot, maybe you can remotely, if a terrorist takes it, I can remotely change it back to autopilot and I can fly it away from the...
whatever they're doing.
Yeah, whatever. No aircraft officially has this in use, but possibly... but
they all have it in use.
But I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. But they think that maybe somebody did hack the system, took it over, and they did whatever. I don't see what the point...
somebody would claim...
right, right, that's what you said. Terrorists always take ownership of their shit. And nobody ever did. So I don't understand. It's a commercial flight. These are
important
people.
Unless his wife was like some kind of computer whiz and she took over the plane.
The pilot?
The pilot's wife.
So he was fucking this chick. A platonic. He had a platonic affair with another lady. They say that maybe he took it over control. He flew it to an island and met that other chick.
Just drive your car by yourself to meet somebody.
Right. I didn't really put too much weight into that.
Yeah.
So, okay, what else we got? Aliens. The U.S. Hold on. The U.S. Nice. Hijacked it. Possibly for their cargo, they had 2.5 tons of lithium batteries.
That catch on fire and can explode and bring the airplane down.
They're fucking lithium. You have a lithium battery. You have a lithium battery in your phone right now. It's not that big of a deal. But, okay.
Right. So, when I watched a video today of some guy in a gym working out and he threw his dumbbell down, hit his phone, and his phone exploded and caught on fire.
Cool.
So all it takes is something. And then how many tons of fucking lithium batteries?
Well, we have lithium batteries everywhere. Why is the U.S. Why do we want them?
Oh, well, we were talking about, that's what I had heard, was the lithium batteries got punctured some kind of way and
caught the plane on fire, and that's
why it went down.
They, before they took off, they made sure that these lithium batteries were single sealed, and they weren't leaking or anything. But they did lie about how much lithium batteries were. I think they said we have 5,000 tons or whatever, or 5 tons when it was only 2.5. And then they also had like radio accessories. I don't really get it.
From the brand new Radio Shack.
It's stupid. So, okay. So back to those 20, I don't remember who, I think it was you brought it up. 20 passengers from the Freescale.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up and I said, I had heard about that too.
So they worked with the NSA or the CIA to make prison program surveillance tech. And then all these guys are flying to China, so they think that maybe they were not working with us anymore and they were going to work for China.
So fucking murder them.
Fuck yeah, dude. What are you going to... what?
No, I'm not saying don't.
Well, I'll say it. You're going to work for us and then go give our secrets to China?
Right. Nope.
Fuck that. I'll kill everybody on that goddamn plane. So possibly they had some kind of secret tech, or maybe we wanted to just manipulate stock prices or whatever. I found it to be a stretch. But we're not gonna. Some people say aliens. I don't put too much stock in that.
Portals.
Yeah. We're going to end it there. We'll go final thoughts. I think the pilot took it over, killed everyone with hypoxia, and then just flew the plane.
Well, I feel like that's a stretch. I think it's more reasonable that there was fucking mechanical issues and it crashed.
How?
Lithium batteries explode. The oil guys saw a plane on fire.
Well, then how do you get the other radar going 6 hours the other way?
They had something else. They were wrong information. Their shit didn't work. Okay. They wanted to, like...
That's what I heard.
But why? What's the point
of that? They've got all kinds of publicity.
So why would they put that out days later?
That's when they came up with their plan.
Didn't Australia fuck up, too, with this?
No, Australia did nothing but good to help, to help.
Yeah, they tried to help. I've heard.
I don't know. Just
have to multinational search. Like, you had U.S., Thailand, Vietnam.
Were there Americans on the plane? Any?
Yeah, we just talked about
CIA
that.
And NASA dudes. Yeah.
Oh, those were Americans.
Most of this plane is Chinese. Employees. Most of this plane is, I'm sorry. Most of this plane is Chinese. You did have the 20 U.S.
U.S.
free scale, whatever it was. But Australia... Australia took the brunt of this because where they supposedly landed, it's very close to Australia. So the Australian Navy pretty much took a big hit in
financially.
Who gives a shit about sending the Navy out to look? But you got to pay for that shit.
Yeah. But the guy's seen the plane on fire. Like, how do you explain that?
See, that's the only thing that gets me.
Just makes more sense. They had fucking whatever issues.
Okay, I did watch a documentary. This lady, she was just like a photographer. So I think she was on Google Earth, and she did find she think was the plane in the South China Sea, where they thought it. But satellites don't work too well in ocean because the contrast is bad for satellites to pick up. Waves are moving all the time, and if I showed you the picture, y'all be like, "It's not that great.
Totally a plane."
Very blurry.
But what I got from the documentary, nobody really took that seriously. It doesn't look like a plane. Oh, yeah? Sean, what do you think?
Aliens definitely did it.
Supposedly, there is a video, but I didn't look it up.
My second guess would be the husband guy.
The pilot. Yeah.
What if they went into a portal into the future and they show back up?
And wreck into each other? No,
they would just...
Are you allowed to fuck yourself from the...
I think so. You can't get yourself pregnant.
Remember when Dennis meets himself and his self is like British and then he like pushes his own head down?
I think that
was... No, that was like a dream thing.
Yeah. It was disturbing.
They're like giving him advice or whatever and then they're just kind of looking at each other and he just...
He's like, oh. Dennis is so fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think
I don't know. The thing I watched, I don't even remember what I saw it on. And the guy was talking about it. And whatever he had said made sense about the lithium batteries, the people seeing the burning plane in the sky. It might have been a particular certain color that lithium burns. I might be making that up. And there was shit that was... discovered that nobody really talks about or they ignore.
Well, see, I tried to look up like the air traffic in that area and both areas. I couldn't find anything. Like there's no maps of any, like I was saying, like it's late night red eye flight. I just wanted to see how many planes were in that area at the time. And I can't find anything. I just can't find it.
Yeah. Like look at that airplane flights now, like I think you can go on a website. Like there's just
I go outside and I look up and there's 50 million planes. Like I just wanted to see like if there was anything else in the but then if they saw a plane on fire, we would hear about that.
We do.
Either one. Well no, like another one. If it was an MH370, we would hear like there was another plane on fire, there was another plane that crashed into that ocean. Well, you would think.
At the exact same time. Right.
I don't know. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Malaysian government.
Man.
I think it was just the pilot probably tried to kill himself, took it over. Malaysian government tried to cover it up.
You should play that.
I think it's just so simple.
Unsolved mystery.
Is that song. Simple, though?
That's pretty simple.
Guy gets a flight simulator built in his house so he can make a plan to murder everybody.
He had it forever. He didn't just build it just for this. He had it forever. this, I don't remember if I said, but he like, he had a big social media presence. He made YouTube video, like DIY YouTube videos. He's
oh, that makes more sense for him to have the simulator.
You can go on YouTube right now and look at him doing shit.
I won't.
Yeah, I didn't want to look it up either. That's why I don't know if it's
sounds
true.
Sounds boring.
But yeah, he had this simulator forever. He just played on it.
I don't know. That's just kind of excessive that I'm going to just murder everybody, which I mean, I know shit like that happens.
Yeah,
but
I thought it was kind of excessive too. But just because his whole family's always like, he's the nicest guy, he would never but do even this. But you don't know what people are going through.
Like, why would
day?
You do that and not just like fucking fly into a mountain or like right. crash into a fucking city you're right. trying to kill people?
I mean, it seems so much to just turn left and go, maybe you just like thinking about what he wanted to do. But me, if I could be like, fuck this job, I'm going to crash this plane. I'm just going to go straight and I'll crash into China, not turn around, fly back.
Just go and get on the plane by yourself.
Time.
Like there was
right.
some video I keep coming across like on the internet and it's like some guy that worked at the airplane stole a plane, flew it into the air and crashed it. Like,
yeah, I would. Me,
just with himself, you know.
It's you got to be a real piece of shit to kill other people for
yeah, like
no 200 fucking
something
reason.
People just because your wife left
the
you.
Documentary I watched was like, dude, when like the families, they brought them together the next day from like everybody got there at 6:30 a.m. ready to be like, oh, my family's here. I'm going to pick them up. It didn't get to be like 8 a.m. They took them all to a hotel in China and they were just fucking. They were like, we lost the plane. They were just crying. They were fucking wailing, dude. It kind of like it hurt me. Like it was like, oh, fuck, I could not be there hearing all that shit. And then when the Malaysian government was like, yeah, we can't, they're gone.
We don't even
we're
know
not
what the fuck
look,
happened
they're
to
not gonna, we're not oh, looking like, for it anymore. They were like throwing water bottles and you had fucking, like I saw a dude with a cigarette in his mouth. He's kicking people and shit. Like, dude,
this
I'd
was like way
fucking,
after when they're like, we're not looking
when
for
they
it
suspended
anymore.
It. I thought,
about a year
it,
after.
I thought it was a year, but I think it was two well, years I mean, after.
What the fuck you want them to do? Like, probably can't find it in a year, 2 years. Like, you're not going to find it.
Well, dude, you weren't looking in the same, in the right spot when you knew they were in a different spot.
Supposedly.
No, but they knew. They knew. I mean, the military knew that night that plane was not in the South China Sea. They knew that night and they didn't come out till 8 o'clock the next day. They're Vietnam ATC's looking, they're trying to be like, where's this fucking plane? We don't know what's going on. And then the Malaysian military sees them go the other way for 6 fucking hours. And then Inmarsat knows they're 6 fucking hours the other goddamn way. I'd be so fucking pissed.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it'd be hard to find regardless, even if you were looking well, in the right spot.
If it's in that ocean, dude, it's like a... That's a terrible ocean. I don't really know much about the Indian Ocean, but apparently it's like a it's
pull
a fucking
that map for me, please.
He can't.
Apparently,
I've never
no,
been.
I can.
Never
apparently, been. It's like a.
Did you see
it's
a plane?
It's a very harsh.
Yeah. It's really hot, and all you see is dust instead of sky.
It's a very harsh sea. It's deep too, so there's a lot of caverns down Miles. There. You're not, dude. The Titanic took 4 years to find.
Right.
Which I mean. They actually gave a shit because there was.
And they knew where that was because ships fucking came and helped them out.
Right.
It was Afghanistan, up and left.
Yeah. Yeah, we're way far away
yeah,
from Afghanistan.
Yeah, I was in the other ocean. But I bet they're similar.
But that's why Australia took it over because, I mean, supposedly where they crashed at 9:15. So they ran out of fuel and crashed at 9:15 a.m. after the whole families were gathered up and they were like, yeah, we don't know where it's at. So it didn't crash till everybody, like the families, knew about it. So, I'd be pissed. Fuck the Malaysian government. I don't know shit about the Malaysian government. Go fuck yourselves. Hey, Trump.
Take out Malaysia.
Yeah.
Depends what kind of, if their food is good or not. Like
sounds gross.
Kind of does.
If it's Chinese. Yeah.
Probably like trash Chinese.
If it's Chinese, like if it's trash Chinese. Kill them all, kill them all.
I mean, you don't see many Malaysian restaurants around,
that's
do you?
True. That's true. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. Hope you liked it. Kind of did a lot of work on that. Remember to like us and share us on Facebook and Instagram. If you guys want to hear a topic, send it to us at beercanspiracyshow@gmail.com or Facebook and Instagram. And we will see you next week for another episode of the Beer Conspiracy Show.
Keeping it sexy.
Chinese food sexy.